Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Guide.
Be really weird.
Where are we on? What?
I said, eh.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We are in the time of year where everybody is cooking out on the weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. But if you don't want to hear that sizzle, you know, right up in your face, you want to hear it from a distance, well, then go check out one of our great steakhouses in the state of Mississippi. Wherever you live near one, and they will put together a meal that you will not soon forget. Whether you're cooking it or you want someone else to do it, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. I hope you are looking for it because we've got a great deal for you right now. 20% off at collegecornerstore.com or at either of their two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. With the promo code OAK, O-A-K, get you 20% off anything at College Corner. Hey, if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're listening, and we know you are, and you want to get some new gear, you can use that promo code just the same as the Mississippi State fans. No one's even going to ask. No one will even look at you funny. You just go do it. Don't you worry about all that. Had some guy last night, it's like, I'm going to shop somewhere else. You go to their website, the first thing is an Ole Miss thing. I'm like, I mean, you had a 50-50 shot, dude. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I don't know.
Yeah, but they missed it. They missed their chance.
They missed. Oh, well. Oh, God.
50% should have been Mississippi State.
Oh, well. It'll be okay. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Promo code OAK to save 20%. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie and I enjoyed a fine lunch there yesterday, and we'll have to do so again because I owe him lunch at this point, and I gotta pay that debt off, and I will. And it will be at Restaurant Tyler, and I will enjoy a great meal just like you can each and every day of the week. If you're thinking about lunch here in the city of Starkville, the best choice to make is to head right over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations ready to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need them on your schedule, you need a bank that provides a different kind of level of service, a bank that the kind of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Lots to talk about today on the show. A little later in the show, I'm going to bring here from Sports Talk Mississippi my interview with Greg Mattia, who covers Virginia for the Daily Progress up there in Charlottesville. Wanted to get his thoughts on O'Connor, what kind of coach he is, and what might be happening in the next few weeks with some of the players from Virginia. But that's where I want to start the show today, Robbie, is talking about the transfer portal. Before we get into the guys that might be coming in, let's talk about a couple of guys that are going out, Michael O'Brien and Nolan Stevens have hit the transfer portal, among others. We're all kind of on Ace Reese watch, though, right this second. We're all kind of wondering, is he going to stay or go? I think it's fair to say this, and I will say, over the past couple of years, I've gotten kind of tired of it wasn't NIL being there. I feel like Mississippi State is the only school where it wasn't NIL. Everybody else is just like, we'll give them the most money and they'll come here. Mississippi State will offer the most money, and it's still like, eh, sometimes. But I do truly feel with Ace Reese that if he leaves Mississippi State, he just doesn't want to be at Mississippi State anymore. There's no way Zach Selman, Brian O'Connor, you can come together on a deal, put together all this commitment to baseball, talk about NIL resources, and then lowball your best player and a guy who's a potential top 10 pick next year. So if he leaves Mississippi State, it is literally he wanted to go somewhere else, and that was it. That being said, what are your sources saying regarding Ace Reese remaining at Mississippi State?
Yeah, you know, it's been kind of hit or miss. The people that I talked to and have talked to leading up to, you know, today have said that they feel good about him. But I truly don't ever, like, feel good about a player until they come out and say, hey, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
I've heard so many times, yeah, you know, he loves it here. He wants to be here, this and that. And the person gets in the portal. We saw that with Keyshawn Murphy.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Murphy's
Griffin
loyal
is one that strikes me.
Keyshawn Murphy's loyal to Mississippi State. He wants to be here. He's going to stay here and fight. And then he gets in the portal and he goes to Auburn. And we've seen that with other players as well. So at the end of the day, this is a guy that's already transferred once. So we can't just come, it's not like he's a Josh Hubbard where this is a home, you know, home state deal and he loves Mississippi State and he loves Chris Jans. It's not like that with Ace Reese. He doesn't have any coaches here that had recruited him to Mississippi State. So it truly is kind of a little bit of a mystery right now as we sit here and talk. He posted kind of a cryptic Instagram. I don't really understand it. It says thank you, Startle, but it also says
it kills me. These guys have no awareness, Robbie. Either that or they just do it for the drama, because there's no way like you could put something like that out and not immediately think, people are going to think I'm leaving. It should be either, you know, thanks, Startle, you know, happy to be here, can't wait for next season, or it's thanks, Startle, I had a great time, but it's time to move on. Why would you do this, Ace?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's drumming up things or if that is a goodbye post or if that's a coming back post.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tell us anything.
Right.
Really. I think people have tried to decipher. It's like, well, he's talking in present tense. Well, but he also said, thank you, Startle, so he's leaving. So it's like, it's just, you're at the mercy of these guys now. And like, I don't even call them kids anymore because they're making more money than I am. So, like, I can't even call them kids anymore. Like, you're at the mercy of these people at this point. Like, you just have to sit around and wait and hope for the best with them. And I'm not even, like, going to try to, like, sugarcoat if he leaves and say it's a good thing or anything like that. Like, you need to keep him. At the same time, I think life will go on with Mississippi State without him. I'm not saying Mississippi State's going to be a better team without him, and I'm not saying they're going to be devastated without him. I think that you can survive without him, but you would much rather have him on this roster.
Yeah.
So like whenever I hear you cannot let this person leave, you got to do everything that you can. Like, I just don't live in that world anymore. There's 1,000 people in the portal. Go find someone that can help you win ball games. And, you know, if it's not a guy that can hit 20 home runs, let's supplement that to other players or something. But like, Mississippi State has a very strong NIL budget to go out there and get great players, get the 9 best players that you can for a lineup, and go from there. If Ace Reese is one of those, that's great for Mississippi State to have a guy that's already done it here. That would be awesome. If not, this is a new era of sports. Do not tie yourself to players anymore to where you're going to be emotionally distraught or make yourself sick over this. But at the interest of talking about it, I don't know where it stands right now with him. I've been told for weeks that things look okay with him. His parents are telling people they love it here. He loves it here. But until he says, I'm excited to be back for my junior year or whatever, you're not going to feel 100% on it.
So, Robbie, to steal from the rumblings here, if I took a gun and pointed it at your head and said, I'm going to kill you and your entire family unless you tell me your thoughts on Ace Reese, will he stay or go, and then I'm going to burn your house to the ground, and then I'm going to kick your dog, what do you think?
Are you an Ole Miss burner account?
I don't know, man. Maybe.
So that's you. That's you that took a picture of my house. I knew it. I don't know, man. I don't know what. I mean, I've been telling people I feel okay about it. I truly don't know what he's going to do. I can't predict what some of these kids' decisions are going to be. You know, you can barely predict what a grown man coach is going to decide to do. We're sitting here waiting on Corey Mascara right now. So
yeah. It's
just insane, kind of like the, you know, where we are in college athletics. But, you know, we'll see what happens. If I had to, if you are going to shoot me in the head, hey, I guess he comes back.
I don't have to have a positive response. I just want an honest answer.
I don't know. I lean towards them retaining him, but I just don't know.
You just don't know. Yeah, I don't have enough.
I just don't have enough right now to say one way or the other, because I think it's like all in Ace's hands.
So then let's talk about the guys possibly coming to Starkville. We've talked about it a little bit. Yeah. This is rough seeing what's happening. You know, I don't really feel bad for them, like you said after yesterday, with some of the stuff that their fans said about Starkville and Mississippi as a whole. But that being said, goodness gracious, their whole team is in the portal. There's also a lot of players around the country that, you know, you just look at their stats, you're like, well, that'd be interesting there. You know, some big home run hitters. I think catcher needs to be the first and foremost priority for Mississippi State, and then you just kind of work around that. That right now, you've seen Moneyball, right? It's like if the pitcher throws a pitch, there's nobody back there to stop it for Mississippi State. They've got to find a catcher. Who are some names that you're hearing that could possibly be, we'll just call them names of interest for Mississippi State?
Well, it's still a little early on the catcher front.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't have a lot of names there for that. I've seen a lot of the Virginia guys. You know, Chone James is a guy that I think he was a catcher at Virginia. He's in the portal. That's a possibility, I guess. You know, somebody I think a while ago posted that McMullen had followed a catcher from like UNC Asheville or someplace like that. So. Mm-hmm. Don't have a lot of names right now, but that is certainly, to me, that could be your most important position. And it feels like it makes sense to go out there and get a veteran guy at that spot to maybe you got a catcher coming in with this recruiting class and Peter Michon, hopefully, and a couple other guys as well are in that. There's Peter Michon, Tanner Bellevue, and Charlie Wortham. You lost Trent Grinlinger a couple weeks ago, but you still have some young catchers there. But those guys you don't want to throw into the fire just yet. So to me, it makes sense to go get another veteran catcher or two that can come in here and that can really field it back there. And one of the things I want to see is a guy that can frame it up really well, that can steal some strikes for you. And also a guy that's going to control the run game. Mississippi State just did not do that very well this year. So while I just don't have a lot of names right now, that's what you're looking for in a catcher. You're looking for a guy that's played a lot of baseball, I think, that can come in here and transition it nicely.
The name you're looking for on UNC Asheville, Ryland Stockton is their catcher's name. And he was their leading hitter. He hit .343, seven home runs, slugged .543. So doesn't look like a bad pickup if that's the way it's going to go. What about outside of the catcher position and maybe some of these Virginia guys? We talked a little bit about Henry Ford. I think the kid's name was Eric Becker. I mean, it feels like every Virginia guy is going to be tied to Mississippi State until they commit somewhere else.
Yeah, and, you know, Ford, you're going to have to wait out for a while. Like I said, I think everybody's going to be after him. I think everybody's going to be after Becker, too. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys, you're going to have to wait out. And then Ford, you know, you got the draft possibility there. He's a draft-eligible sophomore. But that's one that you spend a good bit of NIL money on because he can really play. You know, the guy that I'm hearing the most about right now with Mississippi State is Thomas Valencias, who was a true freshman this year, left-handed pitcher, who was actually really good for them this year. He was all freshman team in the ACC. And he got better as the year went on. This is a dude throwing 95 to 97 from the left side. Just big-time stuff from him that I think is going to translate and be a high draft pick whenever his time comes. And that's one of those that, you know, right away Mississippi State tied to. I'm hearing good things about that. He also has a brother.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's pronounced Vitas, but yeah. I'm not
100%. Where's Stephon when we need him on these things here?
Exactly. And, you know, he's been at Illinois, been at a couple different spots. He was at South Carolina. He went to J. Logan Community College. Was really good this past year at Illinois. Was all Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Guy that hit, I think he had 14 doubles. I think he hit over 350.
348. I'm looking at it right now. He was our leading hitter. Yeah.
So both of those guys, they're brothers. I think they do end up together. It would not surprise me if it's at Mississippi State. That's knocking out two birds with one stone there. And they're both really good. It's not like you're taking one guy that's not very good just to get his brother.
Right.
They're both good.
Are you kind of surprised that O'Connor didn't have somebody in the bag ready to commit immediately just to go ahead and get a little bit of momentum going to start off? That, you know, he takes the job and then 48 hours later, one of his players is like, I'm in, kind of thing?
Not really, because the optics of it, you kind of want it, and you do kind of want to bring him in and let him see the facilities. And I mean, it looks kind of bad if it's like he comes to Mississippi State and then that day gets a commitment or something like that. That kind of looks like tampering.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have the connections.
That's a weird situation, too. It's like, is it tampering if a coach is talking to his own player, but he's leaving? I don't know how exactly that would work.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looks kind of skeezy.
I get it,
bit.
All right.
I mean, it's at the end result is the same. But to me, like, if you have some of these guys, like, just let them let you get through the whole process of talking to your players on campus right now. Because Brian O'Connor has been going through those exit interviews, talked to the team. He's kind of talked individually to everybody. So let him get through that. I imagine they'll probably want to get through this announcement, press conference, whatever, on Thursday. And then I think you start to see some action. You probably want to bring some of these guys in on a visit, too.
Yeah.
To let them see the place and kind of have some formality to it. So, yeah. So, but I think that the Valencias brothers are obvious possibilities. I think Aiden Till is a possibility. A lot of people will remember Kyle Till, his brother that played at Virginia. That was really good there.
Yeah.
I think he's a definite possibility. I think James Nunnally is a guy that's got a do not contact tag on him. Few of these guys have do not contact tags on them, which I want to bring that up too. A lot of people talk about, well, that means they're going. They know where they're going. That's not always the case.
Right.
It usually is, but it's not always the case. Sometimes it's just they don't want to be bombarded with calls, and they would like to kind of pick and choose where they're going, and they make the contact with some of the coaches. So it's not always that. It's kind of them kind of wanting to shorten it up a little bit. But I do think that probably is the case with some of these guys in relation to Mississippi State here. So you got those guys and other, I mean, they have over 20 guys in the portal right now, and it would be foolish to not to believe that you bring the entire coaching staff for the most part over here and they don't get some of those players.
That would be a really big red flag in my opinion.
If you can't go get, yeah.
If you can't get one guy. So today, as we're recording, Robbie, it's 11:27 a.m. on June 4th. When would you expect the first couple of guys to start making those things public and making their decisions?
I would say no later than Friday.
Okay.
I think you should,
that's doable.
Start some action.
I can wait. I can wait that
I
long.
Think it just kind of feels like they're wanting to kind of get through all the pre-press conference stuff and get settled and all that stuff and then start pushing a lot of that stuff out. That's what it just feels like to me.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. It could happen in the next 5 minutes. Who knows?
We shall see. All right. Let's go down to my interview with Greg Mattia. He covers the Cavaliers for the Daily Progress in Charlottesville. I thought this interview was pretty good. I thought that he gave a lot of good information. And then in terms of, you know, how the process played out from the Virginia perspective and what to expect with Brian O'Connor coming. He was incredibly complimentary of O'Connor and what kind of coach he is. So let's do that now. From Sports Talk Mississippi yesterday, this was Greg Mattia. And, of course, all interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are sponsored by our good friends over at Allura Modern Wellness, AlluraModernWellness.com. Guys, Father's Day is coming up. Treat yourself here to Allura Modern Wellness. Don't think a day at the spa is just for the ladies, all right? You work hard, you play hard, your body needs to help have some recuperation. You can get that at Allura Modern Wellness. Check out their website. You want to book a service, it's all right there on the website. You don't even have to make a phone call. And when you show up, you get it's a welcoming environment. They're going to talk through everything with you, explain everything, and get you walking out the door feeling a lot better than when you walked in. This week, Robbie, you know, we're going on vacation in 2 weeks. So I'm really trying to push for some weight loss these last couple weeks. I may have to go treat myself to something up there at Allura Modern Wellness because I'm very sore.
You'll sit in the sauna for a few minutes, sweat out all the Coke Zero.
There's no calories in Coke Zero. I need to sweat out, you know, like the proteins that I'm eating.
You continue to talk about that like it's a healthy drink.
It's water.
There's no calories.
It's juice. It's like juice.
It's not juice.
It's just like juice. Same thing. It's actually better than juice because there's no calories. Juice has calories.
Oh my God. You got to put the calorie thing to the side.
Brother,
just because something doesn't have calories
brother,
in it doesn't
the calorie
mean it's
thing
not
is what has dropped 101 pounds off of me. All right, is the calorie thing.
There's a lot of things that don't have calories in them that could still kill you.
Yeah, like guns don't have calories.
Neither does Coke Zero.
Swords don't have calories.
Swords.
There you go.
Sean Connery there.
Yes, I know. Anyway, Allura Modern Wellness, great place to go. AlluraModernWellness.com. Let's go down to my interview with Greg Madia from the Daily Progress in Charlottesville.
The home team. Greg Madia covers the Virginia Cavaliers for the Daily Progress up there in Charlottesville. And Greg, we started getting word really early in the search process for Mississippi State that Brian O'Connor was going to be a real candidate for the Bulldogs in this search. When did it start making its way up there? And when did you learn that Brian O'Connor was going to be one of the top targets for this Mississippi State search?
Yeah, it's interesting. Thanks for having me on, Brian. Yeah, I think you go back to really the early part of May, right? Word started to kind of circulate nationally that Brian O'Connor would be a target of Mississippi State. At the time, I even wrote a story after talking with Brian O'Connor about the idea. And at the time, he kind of shot it down and said, you know, he was really excited about Virginia baseball's future, that he thought the proper support and resources were going to be elite and that Virginia could compete to kind of keep doing what they're doing on the national level. And continue, you know, going to Omaha and doing all the things his program has done in recent years, right? They won a national title in 2015. They'd been to Omaha in three of the previous four seasons before this year, and this past season that just finished for them. At that time you thought, you know, maybe this got a little blown out of proportion nationally. But then from talking to some sources around Virginia, really last week is when it heated up again. And from the Virginia perspective, the thought was, well, he had time to sit down and hear Mississippi State out. And I think you guys can probably articulate the situation down there better than I can. It seems like it's a school that's willing to pour all of its resources or a large chunk of its resources into baseball, which you know, I don't know how many other schools out there are willing to do what Mississippi State's doing, at least resource-wise, for its baseball program.
You know, O'Connor, his name came up quite a bit in the LSU search when they hired Jay Johnson.
Yeah.
It came up a good bit last year in the Texas A&M search. Was this just a situation where State's offer was too good to pass up, or was O'Connor just really ready to maybe try another challenge?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. He's turned down other jobs before, or bypassed opportunities to pursue it. You mentioned those two jobs: Auburn in the past, Florida in the past, LSU, of course. That's kind of the most high profile. Texas too, and A&M last year, of course. I think he's always stayed at Virginia, though. You always thought, you know, he was going to entertain something to parlay it into something else for his baseball program at UVA. And I think this time around, with them not being in the postseason, he had time to sit down and really evaluate. And I think, too, But you'd be naive not to say that what happened on Selection Monday had anything to do with it, right? I mean, the SEC got 13 teams in, including Kentucky, which was 13-17 in the SEC, and Mississippi State, which was 500 in the league. And Virginia finishes 5 games over .500 in the ACC, and all of a sudden that's not good enough. I think they're the first team in a very, very long time to be plus .500 and to not get any NCAA tournament. I think in O'Connor's tenure at Virginia, 22 years, I think only 7 ACC teams that finished above .500 were left out of the NCAA postseason. That's above .500 in the ACC. And I think during that same time span, 127 plus .500 ACC teams in the conference made the NCAA. So to me, maybe the growing disparity in the conferences had something to do with it, at least in the eyes of the committee. I know what's happening in the national postseason now, right? The ACC has shown itself pretty well. But based on how the selection process worked this year, maybe growing disparity had something to do with it too.
What kind of coach, in your opinion, is Brian O'Connor? How high up the scale would you rank him among active college baseball coaches?
He's excellent. I mean, all the accomplishments are for good reason. He builds relationships with his players. His players love him. It speaks so highly too. I spoke with a bunch of former UVA players over the last few days, and Sean Doolittle, former pitcher for the Washington Nationals, he's now there. Pitching coordinator, and he was telling me, you know, even though it stinks for Virginia to lose O'Connor, he'll still be rooting for Brian because of everything he did, not only for himself, but for the program and how he built UVA and kept relationships with his players throughout the years, guys that had gone on to the big leagues, guys that had, you know, nothing to do with baseball after leaving Virginia and just went in the working world. There's a lot of that, and the discipline, Jake McCarthy, who's been with the Arizona Diamondbacks, an outfielder, he talked to me a little bit about, you know, just the professionalism he learned in Virginia's program has taken him very far and allowed him to reach the big leagues because he knew how to act like a big leaguer. So you're going to get a program that's disciplined, that's not going to make mistakes. They're going to be, you know, in the last few years, Virginia, they've had some really good home run hitting teams. He knows how to recruit talent. It'll be interesting to see, you know, where he pulls the talent from. At Virginia, it was from, you know, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, of course, the Commonwealth of Virginia itself, you know, with the occasional dip down into Florida or, you know, one of the hotbed states for baseball talent. It'll be interesting to see what he does recruiting-wise at Mississippi State, but he knows how to work the NIL angle and knows how to work the transfer portal. One of Virginia's best players the last few years was Jacob Ferentz, a Division III transfer from Salisbury in Maryland, who O'Connor and his staff found was probably the only, you know, power program to offer Ferentz, and he turned out to be, you know, their everyday starting catcher the last 2 years. Good player after they had to replace Kyle Teal, who's now in the White Sox system. So you're getting a very, very accomplished coach who understands the landscape, knows how to get to Omaha. It's pretty much everything you'd want in a head coach.
And, of course, you're seeing a lot of Virginia players are hitting the transfer portal. A lot of them have the do not contact tag, which is going to, you know, make people immediately think they're going to follow their head coach to Starkville. Who are the players that are in the transfer portal right this second that Mississippi State fans might be looking at in maroon and white a season from now?
Yeah, I think Tomas Delinkis, left-handed pitcher, freshman, excellent stuff. He's out of the Baylor School in Tennessee. Same program that produced Henry Ford and Henry Godbout, who played at Virginia, was on the team this past season as well. Godbout's a junior, so he's going to the draft. Ford has a decision to make, even though he's in the portal. But Valinkis, after a great freshman year, when O'Connor decided to put Valinkis in the starting rotation to begin the year, he told me, you know, he's about as good of a freshman as you're going to get to college baseball. You know, in terms of a guy who decides, you know, not to go to the draft, his stuff is that good. And I've heard other college coaches tell me that, you know, he's probably a first round pick in a couple of years. He's the name to watch. Eric Becker, who played shortstop for Virginia this year, Mississippi State fans might remember him, from the Charlottesville Regional last year. Excellent hitter. He could play third base, could play second base too, depending on, you know, what else O'Connor decides to do with the roster. Played shortstop for Virginia this past year. I think those two are the ones to watch. There are other guys in there that are really good players, but I think, you know, some of those players could be using the portal as leverage for the draft, as I mentioned. You know, Henry Ford, Aiden Teal, those guys are draft eligible. Same thing with Evan Blanco. But the main two, I would say, Valinkis and Becker, and maybe James Nunnally, too, who's coming off a decent freshman season at UVA.
So what happens next for Virginia at this point? Like we mentioned, you know, you're losing O'Connor. Most of his staff is coming with him to Starkville. A ton of players in the portal. What's Virginia baseball look like going forward?
It's a great question. I've been told that, you know, that they'll still have, you know, considerably strong resources, right? There was a late donor push to try to keep O'Connor in place that would have seen an uptick in resources and financial backing. I'm told, you know, some of that money was contingent on O'Connor staying. So who knows if that money ends up staying in place. But I think they'll be able to attract a really good coach, someone that views the job as a step up probably from where they're at, or, you know, even within the ACC or another power conference, Virginia probably still has some superior resources and dedication to baseball, not to Mississippi State's level, of course, from what everybody learned over the last couple of weeks. But I think they'll be able to attract a very good candidate. And they'll need someone who can work the portal, because they're going to have to retool the roster on the fly unless they want to undergo a total rebuild. Some names that I've heard to this point, Chris Pollard at Duke could be an option. Mike Glavin, who's the coach at Northeastern and has won a lot there. Mississippi State just played that team,
yeah,
in a Tallahassee regional. He's done a good job in the Northeast, and you know, he has some players from areas that Brian O'Connor has had success recruiting before. So I think he could be an option. Cliff Godwin at East Carolina, his name, you know, comes up, I feel like, for every big job. And he's a really good baseball coach, and that's someone who could be in the mix. And then there are some other names too floated out there, but one name I've heard more often than not is Chris Pollard from Duke, but maybe that's dependent on how far Duke goes in his postseason.
We shall see. Greg, really appreciate your time today, man. Great information, and we'll talk to you down the line. All right,
let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and the Older Brother also in the heart of the Cotton District. Two great places to grab lunch, grab dinner, or just have a good time. Today, as we're speaking, is Wing Wednesday up there. So if you want to enjoy the best smoked wings I have ever had, they are available to you at Two Brothers. But those wings are on the menu every day. It's not just a Wednesday thing. You can always go up there and have them, have a sandwich, we haven't talked about the prime rib sandwich in quite some time.
No, that's my go-to.
That is the Robbie Falk. That's, you know, they might as well call it the Big Falcon prime rib sandwich, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think they should, what they should do, it shouldn't be the Big Falcon sandwich. It should just be, they have the prime rib sandwich, but you can make it pretty Falcon big for like $2 more, and they'll put like more meat on it.
Yes, I'm good with that.
$1 million idea right there. You just take it. You can have it, Two Brothers.
Two Brothers. Barton.
Yeah, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the Older Brother. You know the place. It's in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
A day.
Sound like he spoke a pack of Marlboros every hour on the hour.
Marlboro Reds.
There you go. If you need technology, if you need technology for your business, the place to call it is Advantage Business Systems. If you need a new copy or a new printer, new laptops, whatever it is. Why? Because you get, like as I mentioned, the great product at a great price. But who delivers service after the sale? Who's there for you when something goes wrong? A lot of these places, you buy something from them, and it's a hassle. There's a lot of rigmarole when it comes to getting things fixed. Not so with our friends at Advantage Business Systems. It's a 601 number. You talk to the people who made the sale with you. You already have that relationship. And a lot of times, because they're in Mississippi, they can fix your problem the same day it happens. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're looking for new MSU gear for dad, the place to go is Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville, Maroon & Co. has the biggest and best selection of anyone in this entire town. If you're not in Starkville, there's always the website, maroonandco.com, where everything that's available in the store is available to you wherever you are. It's not just about, you know, clothes, stuff for your car, your tailgate, cowbells. Everything is right there at Maroon & Co. And you can use our promo code to save some money. Thunder15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Before you head to the start, next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, you go to Maroon & Co. The weekend is almost here, guys, and if you've got projects that need doing, if you've got grass that needs mowing, and you've got meat that needs cooking, well, you need to make a trip to Scruggs Farm and Lawn and Farm Lawn and Garden. I put an extra and in there for some reason. Before you do any of those things, because they have everything you're looking for. You're looking to get the grass, the lawn looking the way you want. John Deere products available to you at Scruggs Farm and Lawn and Garden are going to make your lawn look better than everybody else's. You'll be the envy of the neighborhood. Need a new grill? They've got that. Looking for that tool to get the job done right? They've got that. Everything you need, one location, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, or you can shop scruggsfarm.com. They have what you want for less. All right, this happened about a week ago. I think it was actually a week to the day, and we haven't talked about it yet. But we got kickoff times for Mississippi State's first three games of the season. Now, we already know the last game of the season as well is an 11 a.m. kick for the Egg Bowl on Black Friday. So you're going to get bookended with that. Now, 11 a.m. on November the 29th is a nice, pleasant fall afternoon. Should be lovely. 11 a.m. on August, is it the 30th?
Yes.
Yeah, August 30th is a different matter entirely.
Makes you want to fight.
Thank God the USM press box is closed and air-conditioned because it's going to be hot in Hattiesburg. So, Grandma, bring the refrigerator into the living room and get set to sweat. Mississippi State.
Are we going to go eat after the game?
Why would we not?
I mean, we got plenty of time to go eat and then drive back to to Starkville. It won't be bad at all.
We should talk to our buddy down there and just say, why don't we stay the whole day and we can just you put us up and we'll come watch some football. It'll be great.
Yeah,
We would have time, I think, to eat and get back and watch most of Clemson LSU that night.
Probably so.
There's another game that night too. I forget which one it is. It's not Ohio State, Texas. I don't know. It doesn't matter. 11 a.m. for Mississippi State and Southern Mississippi. I think USM has some gold alternates. If you're listening, Coach Huff, allow me to suggest that you wear them because wearing black uniforms in that situation would be a terrible idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, State wins the uniform situation.
Yeah. They need to go all white in that one. They need to ice
it. Go with the stormtroopers look.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be really hot, and their field is turf, too.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. So I really thought these times would be switched. I thought that State would play Southern Mississippi at night, and then the SEC would do them a favor and make Arizona State play in the stifling Mississippi afternoon heat. But instead, first game of the year against what should be a top 25 opponent in Arizona State, 6:30 kickoff on ESPN2. By the way, I didn't mention that USM game, that's the game coming out of College Game Day on ESPN. That's Corso's last game day. Chance for some I'm not a big ratings guy, but that's a chance for some big ratings there.
Yeah, it is. I think so. And it's a very intriguing game. Charles Huff bringing some excitement. It should be packed.
Yeah,
I imagine at Southern that day. I mean, yeah. it's an in-state game. It's kind of a rivalry because there's been some back and forth over the years. But to your point about Arizona State, I think the SEC did do them a favor by playing this game at night.
Okay.
It gives you probably your best possible crowd. Arizona State's not going to be threatened by the heat. But playing that game at 6:30, I think it gives you your best chance for a really good crowd.
Yeah.
But in Hattiesburg, that's going to be tough for the home team, man. I bet they're ticked about that because, like, a 7 p.m. game
would have been awesome. Yeah,
would have been great for them.
Yeah. their fans will still show up. I think there's a lot of, like you mentioned, there's a lot of excitement with Huff, and it's an in-state rival. There'll be a big crowd. State fans will be there, too. The last time we were down there in 2015, there was a large contingent of Mississippi State fans in the stadium for that one. So it's crazy, though, to think that the 11 a.m. game, which ESPN has tried to put some good games there to kind of combat what Fox does, but what ESPN has going up against Ohio State, Texas, is a 2-10 team versus a 1-11 team from a season ago. That's just kind of funny.
Yeah, let's see what the ratings say about that.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, and then the third game of the year, also we have a time for that. Now, that is the ESPN Plus game. We'll go ahead and start letting you guys know that if you want to watch that game, it is going to be available on streaming only, and that's the Alcorn State game. That's a 5 p.m. kick. That's another one. Sometimes I just don't understand some things because this is the game where you pick the time. You could say you want to play this game whenever. Why not 6? Let the sun get down.
Give it one more hour.
Give me another hour of tailgate. Why 5? I just don't understand sometimes. I don't get it.
It's still going to be hot.
Yeah. Like, I would go, make it 7. Let's let the sun be, you know, mostly starting to come down a little bit. I don't get it, but whatever.
I'm not going to really complain. I can get out of there a little earlier.
So, I'm going to make some predictions here, by the way. Without knowing anything else, without looking at the other schedule. Here we go. Northern Illinois is an 11 a.m. It's either 11 a.m. or it's that 3:15 SEC network game.
That's probably the one it is.
Yeah, that's the one. State was in that window a lot last year. Tennessee will be a night game at Mississippi State, especially, Robbie, I'm just saying. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying there's the potential for State to be 4-0. Playing Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That potential.
Yeah, that would be an interesting matchup.
If that's the case, that's like an ESPN. It could even be ABC night game there. All right.
Yeah. I looked at the other games.
At A&M, that's probably like a ESPN2 night game there.
That feels like a night game.
Yeah. Florida at Florida. I could see that being an 11 a.m. game.
That's 11 a.m.
Yeah. That's a Saturday in October. So that means Alabama, Tennessee is that day. Now I've made myself look into it.
Alabama,
Tennessee, Arkansas, A&M, Ole Miss, Georgia is that day. Yeah, State's probably 11 a.m.
That's prime time. Is the ABC game at 3 or 2:30?
2:30.
Same as CBS?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Texas, that'll probably be a night game. Probably.
I think that's going to be a day game.
You think that'd be 3:15 again?
Yeah. That's the SEC network game, I think.
At Arkansas, probably 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yeah.
All Georgia at home, that could be a night game.
That's going to be a night game, 6 p.m., 6:30, whatever.
At Missouri is that 3:15 window for sure.
Or night, SEC network.
Could be. That could be the Tom Hart, Jordan Rogers, Cole Kublik game. You're right. And then we already know the Egg Bowl time. So those are our predictions. Remember what they did last year, guys. They don't tell us the time. They'll tell us the times, you know, 2 weeks out. But in the next week, couple weeks or so, they should announce the windows. And you remember last year, they would say this is going to be a night game. So it could kick off at 6. It could kick off at 7. It could kick off at 8. This is an afternoon game. It could do 2:30. It could be 3. It could be 3:15. And then you have some flex windows as well. Those announcements should come pretty soon. So we'll see about that. All right, tomorrow's show. I don't know what tomorrow's show is going to bring us. I don't know. We just got to wait and see. We'll figure it all out. But we'll do a show, and we'll do that. Go ahead and give you guys a heads up. By the way, Robbie, I was convinced. I was absolutely convinced this team was going to go to Omaha because that would have been no thunder and lightning while we were in Omaha. Plus, you had agreed to do Sports Talk Mississippi that week while I'm out, but unless the team was in Omaha, and I was like, this is going to happen. So they didn't happen. But I want to give everybody a heads up. The week of July 16th through the 21st, there'll be no thunder and lightning. I'll be out of town. I'll be on vacation. Robbie will be on Sports Talk Mississippi with Michael Borky that week, but I will not be here, so no podcast that week. Just go ahead and let you guys get prepared for that. Have a great Thursday, guys. What now?
Taking the week off.
That's right. Got to recharge the batteries a little bit. All right. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you tomorrow on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.